Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of that twice-weekly podcast for people who stab ground cloth and then make fine art.
That's okay, a good combination.
Yes. And it relieves pressure and tension and all of those things. And there's an article that in the Weaverville local magazine or something that somebody did about Kim Young and Sassy Jax. And the title has to do with is something about stabbing cloth 1,000 times or something. So even used in the article. Yes. all right. We got a clean up from last week. Apparently people misunderstood, read too much into what we were talking about and or got upset. So, and this has to do with our discussion about finished charts, and then my little intro cautionary statement. So, we just to be clear, up front, you buy a chart, you do with it what you want. You can sell it, you can give it away, you can trade it, you can, you know, whatever. What you can't do is make copies of it and give it to people. Because that's against copyright. You know, it's copyright infringement, just like I said in the intro, where even to the point of making copies for your own use is technically, in the purest form, copyright infringement. But you can, you buy it, you do what you want. You give it away, sell it, trade it, whatever. And we were not saying that in any way, shape, or form, that you couldn't do that. I've done it. You've done it. I've received charts from people because they didn't want them anymore. No qualms whatsoever. That's not what we were talking about at all.
And right.
We were just going to really a kind of a different level in talking about, you know, what does that mean for designers? Is it a concern that,
yeah,
that, you know, you might, it's another sale a designer might not get, but, No. It's your chart. Do with it what you want. You know, mark it up, cut it up. I don't care. None of us cares.
I think we fell into the trap of what we do, and this is perhaps I don't know if it's a bad thing, but we tend to explore ideas, and I do this in my own head, so I'm used to it, but I don't often share that with other people, I guess. But, you know, in order to figure out how I feel about something, you sort of explore the idea. You know, you think about all the different possibilities or pathways you could take with an idea. Okay, how do I feel about this? Well, you know, what would it mean if I gave a chart away? Well, this is the five different possibilities that it would, you know, five different endings. What would it mean if I sold it? These are the different endings that would be. How do I feel about all of those? And, you know, sort of that's how I kind of get to a place of how I feel about a particular thing. You know, it could be a moral thing or an ethical thing, a political thing, or just a decide how to do something, any of those things, you know, really anything. And so you and I will sometimes get into philosophical discussions about stuff like that. And this one was a tricky one because we were weighing sort of the needs of the designer who needs to make a living versus the, you know, just the habits of people. And, you know, on one hand, we want to make sure that the designer makes a living. And someone had made the point that, you know, sometimes giving a chart away is as good as selling one because, you know, you give a chart away, like, you know, sometimes – and that's why does promotional, you know, T-shirts and mugs and all those things, you know, companies make those at a loss and they give them away because, well, if people like the logo or the thing, you know, or samples, free samples, they do that because if you try it and you like it, then you'll buy more. So if you give a chart away that's been stitched already and somebody enjoys it, well, then they'll perhaps buy others. So maybe giving a chart away is a great way to, you know, have somebody say, oh, I've never stitched that person's designs before and I really liked it and I wouldn't have picked it up before. But in fact, I, you know, now I have a new designer that I like. So that's another way we hadn't thought about it. But truthfully, you know, we have to think about what's human nature and what is our habit and what is one of the things about our hobby that has drawn us to it and how we've been. I think one of the more loving parts of it is that this is something that we pass down from generation to generation and from friend to friend. And so the idea that we couldn't give from one person to another, I stitched this and I really loved it and I would love to share that with you. The idea that we couldn't do that, or that we would say, no, that's a bad thing to do, would be terrible, because that's some of the greatest joy that we get out of this, isn't it? Is to share that and to say that that part of it is wrong. I think is that would really take a lot of the fun of this and the loving part of it out, and that would be very sad for me. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity to sort of clear that up. So yes, yeah. It's we need to find ways to support the people that provide these things for us, because they're giving us something that a lot of us can't do, right? We not all of us are gifted to design something, and not all of us want to sit and design something. That's not the fun part of it. So we need to purchase things, and we need to give them a reason to keep designing. So we have to find ways to support that. But we also have to make this, you know, a hobby that's a giving thing and a loving thing and something that connects us to one another. And we do that by giving. And I think that's important to continue to do. You know, one of the things about this that has been, I think we've talked about from the very beginning, has been, how do we bring children into the hobby? And we cannot bring children into the hobby, or even young people into the hobby, unless we gift them things. Because let's face it, these are expensive. You know, materials, especially, you know, silks and things like that, let's put aside for the moment. But, you know, kids can get started with very inexpensive materials, but charts and things like that sometimes can be very pricey. So to be able to give a child a chart to get them started, that could change a kid's life. That could get them rolling on something that they would not have had the opportunity to have. So I think that giving is really an integral part of this, and that's what's going to continue to, you know, that's what's going to pass this all along, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. And, you know, it's yours. You can do with what you want. And heard through the grapevine that some people were concerned that they'd been doing things wrong all along. And no, you bought it. You can do with it what you want. Trade it, sell it, whatever. It's quite all right. Yeah, and I think a lot of that is we both have scientific backgrounds, and you do science every day, and I'm an editor. I analyze every word and every sentence that gets printed. And so it's kind of our mindset to explore these things. And that's, you know, it's what we're doing. We're just looking at, well, what about this and what about that, like you said. But, you know, the law allows you to do these things. But it also does not allow you to do other things. And that's why I put that disclaimer up front, because I realized after the fact that the discussion that we had, and it was not intentional. We did not set out to even get anywhere near copyright. But I realized that the discussion that we had touched on copyright issues, and that we, in saying that you can make copies, working copies, that's okay. We suggested that was okay, and it's not. But I don't think there's a designer in the hobby who would have a problem with it, because everybody does it, and I make copies and I throw them away when I'm done. But I want to have something I can mark on, because I want to keep that original pristine. And you make all kinds of notes on yours, and I really do. I want to have that original as clean as possible, so I do that. But I've also also paid for, paid for the original. So
And I was thinking about it too. Like, if I was a designer, which would I prefer? You know, a chart sitting on someone's shelf that now has to sit on someone's shelf in perpetuity, or a chart that had been marked up and then passed on to my niece, and then marked up and then passed on to her friend, and then marked up, and then now is dog-eared and gray and all of those things. And then it made me think of one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite books, maybe my top five books of all time. And it's a delightful quote from The Velveteen Rabbit. So I'm going to read this quote. So it's a Marjorie Williams, Velveteen Rabbit. And I think I don't know if every parent knows this book, but it's one of my favorite books that I used to read to my son when he was little. And now he's sick of it because I've read it too many times, but it's the horse, the skin horse, is talking to the rabbit who's trying to understand what it's like to become real, as opposed to, you know, just being a stuffed toy. And the skin horse has become real. And he's trying to understand what it's like. And he says, it doesn't happen all at once, says the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But those things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand. So to a designer who would understand, and to a stitcher who would understand and would get that chart and would see all those marks and to see the history of all the people that had read that and stitched it. You know, think about getting a chart that was 50 years old or 100 years old. And to think about all the people that had stitched it before you and all the different types of little changes they would have made, you know, and all the times that piece would have been stitched and made real. What an honor that would have been.
Yep. Yep. Okay. There we have it. Give your charts away. You're done. But now, okay. Yes. Now the original question that launched this last week was what to do with finished charts. And I would suggest, if you're going to do something with finished charts and don't have an idea what to do, Michelle Garrett, Bendy Stitchy should be your target. If you're not following the Michelle Garrett FlossTube videos, I suggest you put that on your priority list, because between her and Arlene, my two favorites by far, without a doubt. But you'll recall many weeks, months ago, actually back in the spring, I think it was, we started asking people to buy magnets from Heather, the Imperfectly Perfect Stitcher, who was giving some of the proceeds from her magnets to Michelle's effort to raise money for her Alzheimer's walk.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that back in the spring, and finally Heather said, enough, I got to take a break, because she was moving a lot of magnets. And then out of that grew an incredible effort by Michelle and by the entire community of auctions and other things, fundraising things, to the point where she raised more than $10,000 for her Alzheimer's walk, which is an incredible sum. To come out of a hobby, the needlework hobby. So that whole thing was such a big effort and such a big success that now Michelle has taken to doing a charity each month. And the November charity hit home for me. The November charity is, and I don't know the difference, but it's apraxia dyspraxia. But if you watch her October 30 video, she has a segment in there from Heather, the Imperfectly Perfect Stitcher, whose son, suffers or has this apraxia. And what it is, in the shortest of terms, is it's a child's mind that works just fine, but the connection between mind and mouth doesn't work well. And so it's very hard for them to express and verbalize what they have to say and therefore to communicate. And I would suggest to you that you get the October 30 video, FlossTube video, Michelle Garrett, Bendy Stitchy. But first get a good number of Kleenex and then watch that video. And it's probably beyond halfway through. Heather joins and talks about her son and what she has experienced so far and what they're doing to get her son so he's okay, so that he can can function and carry on a fairly normal life. And she says it's going to be typically 9 or 10 years old. These kids are able to grasp things and start to communicate and function. Mm-hmm. And that's after a lot of therapy. And she tells this story, and just get some Kleenex because you're going to need it. No. Then also there's a video of Flissy, and I'll have links for these. I'll put them on the page for this one. Flissy Fish Cross-Stitcher. She is an adult who has fought her way through this, and she talks about what it's like to deal with this, affliction. It's not a disease. I mean, it's something that you're born with. And so she talks about that, and that is eye-opening. But what really hit me when Heather was talking is our pastor and his wife, their son, has this. And so we see it when they're in church, because the little boy is he's a handful. And he goes to therapy, and I don't know all the details, but hearing Heather talk about what this is gave me considerably more appreciation for what that young boy is dealing with in his own head, and of course, mm-hmm. by extension, the parents, and real appreciation for the whole dynamic there, and the therapy, and it's obviously a long ride to get to 9 or 10 years old, assuming that the child is able to do that. So that really hit me hard. Just Heather telling the story of her son, but then, I've seen it firsthand to some degree in church services, and really, really just knocked me for a loop. And so this month is Heather, that's Michelle Garrett's thing, is for the Apraxia for Kids effort. And Heather talks about there's not enough people trained to therapy. There's technology that can help these kids. And there are things, but they just need money. It's like every other of these kinds of things. They need money, they need research, and they need support, and parents need support. And so it's a whole thing. And so that's Michelle's effort this November, is that. And then that ties into, what do I do with my charts? Well, part of what Michelle does is she auctions off. She has ongoing auctions through her Instagram page. And I wrote to her to ask exactly what she's doing. And here's her response. I'll just read it so I don't screw it up. This is Michelle saying this. I'm suggesting direct donations to apraxia-kids.org. And apraxia is APRAXIA. apraxia-kids.org, and then there's a link that she gives, and I'll put that on the page, along with her, with Michelle doing running auctions on her Instagram for items that have been donated. And so you can donate, connect with Michelle. It's not hard to find her, or not hard to find her email address, and you can donate. And then she says, every week I try to put up higher ticket items and lower ticket items to allow everyone to participate and contribute. For next week's auctions, and I just got this, we're recording on Monday, And this is up Wednesday. So I just got this today on Monday. So she's talking about next week. So on next week's auctions, we have a Laura Standish kit, a Disney Dreams kit, a Christmas kit and bag from Caroline of Off the Grid Needleworks, Needle Arts. I always do that. Off the Grid Needle Arts. A BB Jr., a Bitsy Bob Jr., from That's So Kelly Company on Etsy, and a spot on McKenna's April Retreat. And so she, that's what she has up for auction next week. And, so, you know, connect with Michelle through Instagram, through YouTube, FlossTube, you know, watch her videos just as a normal practice. She does two a week, watch them, but she's doing this tremendous thing and the community of Stitchers is coming together and helping these causes. And this is, you know, somebody giving back, and I really applaud her giving back from what we have in this hobby and the community that we have and all the kind people. And so if you have things that you want out of your stash, Michelle would be happy to have them to auction off. And if you want to help out with this cause or whatever the cause is the next month, Michelle is the way to do it and to make a difference and do it through the stitching community. And I really applaud her. I mean, she's a wife, has a daughter, full-time job, stitches, and is finding extra time to do these auctions. And when she does these auctions, she's got to find time to mail out what people buy. Tremendous effort all the way around from her to make a difference for people. And so what do I do with my finished charts? Well, first look, if you don't have something you want to do with them for sure, then look at Michelle and what she's doing, because that's, I just think it's tremendous. And this month in particular, the apraxia thing is really, it's just something that touched me just because of what goes on in my personal life every Sunday. And so, you know, just huge applause to Michelle for this effort. And, so there, yeah, there's a way. There's a way.
Do that.
Yes. And watch that video and then go watch Flissy Fish Cross Stitch, because that's an adult who describes what it is like, even as an adult who has a grasp of what, you know, has gotten her arms around it, so to speak, and has learned how to deal with it and understands what goes on in her life when things are not going well and why. And she describes all of that, and it really is, it's enlightening and will give you a full appreciation of what she goes through. And I would submit that most people around her, if they didn't know, wouldn't know there's anything, you know, she struggles with anything, but, she manages it and controls it. And I'm sure she has days where she just wants to just pound on a wall, but,
yeah,
it's a powerful pair of stories there that you want to connect with to really understand this, and then I'm pretty sure you'll be motivated to help out through Michelle's efforts. So, yeah, there we have it.
All right, let's do this.
So there's that, and then also, since we're on the subject of charts and things, call your attention to Trish Burr just announced the other day that someone, I think in New Zealand it was, but someone has been buying her charts or taking her charts, her art, and copying it and making up kits and selling them. Now Trish has taken the steps to stop it, but the message from Trish is the only way to get her material, her charts, her designs, is through trishburr.com. Through her website. And if you're getting them anywhere else, you're getting stuff that has likely been stolen. I mean, I'll just use the word stolen.
That's fair. Yeah.
And so you, if you're going to buy Trish's designs, buy them through her website, because that's where they're sold from, not anywhere else. And she explains in her blog how it works, who you'll hear from, so on and so forth. It's very clear. But, you know, another example, as we experienced with Pinterest and Debbie Woodard and many, many others have experienced, There are unscrupulous people out there who are anxious to make a buck off of someone else, and there are people who are more than willing to give them that buck. And I just would suggest on both ends, don't be that person. Buy these things from the people. If somebody doesn't gift it to you or give it to you or something like that, buy them from the proper people through the proper channels and support these designers, because long term we need them. We need them to create, just like we need local needlework stores. We just simply need them if this hobby is going to continue. So, gee, that was a lot. That was a lot. I wanted to bring up Wendy Davis on Stitch Mania. We didn't get to this last week, but she asked a question. And I just did this last night, so it's really fresh in my mind. I'm stitching on Sarah Brazier, and I miscounted. Oh joy! And had to pull out a bunch. And when you do that, particularly on linen, then you can see opened up holes where the thread and needle have been, and it's quite obvious where you have stitched. And so yeah. I was off by a stitch, and so then I had to move up one. And I learned this really just accidentally one time when I made a mistake on linen. Sarah Brazier again. I have made more than one error on Sarah Brazier already. But the time I learned it was that there was some silk fuzz left behind when I pulled out the thread, and I threw that thread away because it was showing some raggedness. Mm-hmm. But I have the seam ripper that Vana recommends that I got from Joanne's out of the quilting section. And yes. This seam ripper has rubbery ends on both ends. And what I use that for is when I have left behind thread fuzz, you can rub that over the canvas or the cloth, and it will pick that all up, or at least ball it up so you can gather it up and get it out of there. Particularly helpful if you have white near a dark color.
Mm-hmm.
So this time there was some fuzz, not a lot, but a little silk fuzz. So I rubbed that rubbery end of the seam ripper over that area to get the fuzz up. And I'll be darned if the holes didn't go away. And
yes, it was pushing everything.
That's right. The rubbery end was gently moving the linen fibers back into place. And so once I saw that happening, then I just went and kind of helped it along, you know, just by gently rubbing back and forth. And I would suggest be careful. You don't want to scuff up your linen. But and so every time that happens then, and I have those holes, then I just take that seam ripper out and rub it over the linen, and they go away. The holes go away. There's always a couple, and you can tell. But I figure in the handling of tensioning and untensioning the linen, that those things will work their way out. But it takes care of the problem. So I just discovered that by accident, and works like a charm. And that's a good seam ripper to own anyway. So extra little benefit there, but that's how I deal with it. Accidental discovery. I'll take it.
Those are the best.
Yep. So that was good. I think we're just going to call it right there. I think so.
Just abruptly.
I think we're just going to be done right there. So there we have it. Sunday, our guest is Susan O'Connor, editor of Inspirations Magazine. Very excited about that.
Yes.
If you're not getting Inspirations Magazine, you're missing out. Now I get the digital version. You get the print version.
I do.
You just got the 100th issue there.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful little book. Yep.
It is a treat.
Yep.
So that one no one is getting because it's staying on my shelf forever.
You bet.
I'm just saying.
Yep. So Susan O'Connor, we get to talk about that, talk about Inspirations Magazine in general and how they put that all together. And I'm sure we'll find 50 or 60 other things to talk about. So That's Sunday. Thanks for listening. If you're wondering what to do with your charts, give them away. Trade them. Sell them. But keep Arlene, or not Arlene, keep Michelle Garrett, Bendy Stitchy, keep her near the top of your list because she's doing good with that stuff. So thanks for listening.
Take care.